OG Podcast Network presents. Welcome to Fireside. First off, welcome to Fireside. When we talk to comic books the entire time. Ain't going nowhere, so dry your eyes. Already lasted longer than Firefly. Stay tuned, Mitty's got the creepiest news. From books to TV, the movie reviews. Plus the next toy, baby, here we get choose. Even a superhero fight club who we usually lose. So popping those earbuds, turn up those speakers. Feel Malice Power Earth 2 with features. You need to listen while we feel you the binge us. We gotta know, baby. Are there ninjas? So relax a lot back. As we start another issue of Fireside Chats. Comic facts and wise cracks. Welcome to the show, this is Fireside Chats.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another issue of Fireside Chats. I'm your host, Menti. And with me, as always, are my wonderful sidekicks. First, Mr. P. Features.
Hello, internet.
And then, Beep You Mauer.
Beep You Menti.
Beep You.
Both of you.
Yeah.
No, Beep You.
You really have best said. Don't pick sides, man. You already did this once before, and it did not go well.
No. And then we both teamed up on you, and like you left crying. I had to call late shift to pick you up.
You know what? Beep y'all.
Wow, you took that to a whole new level there, Mauer. I must have been off that day. All right, well, welcome to the Wednesday show. If you're new around here, this is where we talk about the news.
The new news.
Yes, this is where we're going to talk about the comic books, the movies, the TV shows, any comic-related current events. That's what we're going over. Like, for example, we've got Superman's new weakness.
Joss Whedon makes an announcement.
And Mark Hamill has a meeting with James Gunn?
Potentially, but we'll get into that in a moment. All right, let's talk about comics. So, right off the bat, Superman's new weakness. Let's just get into that because it's the weirdest one. So, in Superman 40 and in Superman 41, there's this kind of a weird story where it's like it's Superman takes Jonathan Kent because it's the anniversary of Krypton blowing up. And it's like this whole space adventure. But he goes to this planet that has these weird, like, dolphin looking creatures, like they're kind of seahorsey. But the thing is that this is a group of it's a species that wants to die. Essentially, they believe in this deity, and I don't remember the name. It's a ridiculous name, but they're praying to this deity and they want the deity to blow up
Galimane.
So, and the deity,
no, this is the planet. Sorry,
Galimane is the planet.
Well, what's weird about Dermot. All this is that this it's kind of a cool concept because Superman shows up to save them from inevitable annihilation. Right. And he's there with his son to do what's right. And they don't want to be saved.
No,
so much so that they pray to their deity that he will fail. And it starts to make him lose his powers as if it were magic. That's the question. I think this is going to strike a couple chords with some people.
Now, so if I'm correct, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong.
You normally do.
Brilliant. Superman's weaknesses, one of them was actually indeed magic for a long time.
No, was, is.
Is.
Well, is, thank you.
So we will correct you when you're wrong.
You want to start over?
No, because there have been multiple times where they've had Superman overcoming magic.
Because that's who Superman is.
Man, screw that.
Oh, it
if it's
matter.
A weakness, it's let still, it be a weakness.
Dude,
a weakness doesn't mean automatically lose. The like, whole point, you like that guy and his whole thing is overcoming.
Here. We all have a weakness to bullets, right? But if I shot you in the leg, you'd be okay, right?
No.
You get my point.
Can we try that out?
No.
This is getting...
It'll be all right, Peach.
This is getting weird. But the point being is for two things. One, I find that just as an interesting story for Superman, where his own ideologies and his own beliefs are that he should save them. They're like the religious figureheads of this race, I guess we'll say, the species, are, he's like, you don't speak for your whole planet. Well, and they kind of do. So the whole planet, all of them pray to this one god, which is enough magic, I guess we'll say, that it starts to remove both Jonathan Kent and Clark Kent's powers, as if it were just straight up magic. So, but this is not a magical group. So the thought is, and what a lot of people are saying is that you can now add the power of prayer, so to speak, to one of Superman's weaknesses.
Or you can say that faith in that aspect is just magic, and they explain magic by faith.
Well, then that brings up a lot of other questions. Go ahead.
Or does it count because there's an actual deity to pray to?
So, and that's a third thing. The deity could be utilizing their prayer as his power source.
Right.
And he is then a magical being.
Right.
So the prayers could be feeding him. And, you know, what is the unexplainable? You know, it could be faith. It could be magic. Nobody quite said. So it's a good thing to throw in there because it could be looked at on either way, and neither way is wrong.
He's feeding off their aquatic souls.
Well, the writer essentially said that the power of prayer could be like magic. And this, but the fact that they lose their powers would kind of lead me to believe that it is magic.
Well, let's just pray on it.
Wow. There you go. That's where we're going to end that story.
Thanks, features.
All right, let's keep moving because there's a lot of fun stuff to talk about. This is going to be a very comic slash movie heavy show. Let's just start off with that.
Move so on, comics.
Let's go off to the next one because I find the next one very interesting because
as long as you're quick.
Hey, womp womp. All right, so the next story is about Quicksilver, which is why that was a bad joke. And Quicksilver, in my opinion, it doesn't really get the justice he deserves, we'll say, from Marvel books.
Uh-huh.
Right? Quicksilver, he was an Uncanny Avenger recently. Mm-hmm. You know, he's been an Avenger mainstay for a while. He's the son of Magneto. He's been around for a very long time, but
not really the son of Magneto.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Sure.
Also not a mutant.
Retcons.
Anyway, he is essentially a slower Flash. Can we say that?
Yeah.
That he goes like Mach 10, right?
Yeah, he breaks the sound. Speed of sound.
Yeah, he breaks the sound barrier. But he's not like the fastest of all things. He's not like there's Marvel characters who are faster. He's just extremely quick.
But not quick enough in the movies.
In this new story, in No Surrender, which is going on in the Avengers books right now, he is a pretty big part of it. Mm. And there's going to be a new book coming out where he's actually going to have his own book, which I find very interesting. He's going to have his own book. But the concept behind it I love, which is all of a sudden he kind of gets stuck in time. So when speedsters run quickly, right, everything slows down around them and they perceive time differently.
Right.
He's done this before, but it's not a normal thing for Quicksilver.
Mm-hmm.
But in this book, he cannot remove himself from that kind of slowed down time. So everybody around him is frozen. So what I think's interesting about what the writer wants to go with here is he talks about the isolation that Quicksilver is going to have to deal with. Because for the rest of us, it'll feel like a second or a minute has passed. But for him, it's going to be years where he cannot speak to anyone.
So
because everybody else is just frozen in time. And while he's in this weird state, something is going to be picking off people who are frozen. Right. And it says somebody or something. But they did say that they want to add a horror element to this book. I'm intrigued.
You got to add something because he's a crappy character.
I don't think he's a crappy character.
He's a crappy character.
He's not a crappy character.
I can move kind of fast.
But.
And I have weird relationships with my sister.
He does.
You're right.
It got real weird. There's some Ultimates. Ultimates, Quicksilver, and Scarlet Witch were way too close. Way too close.
But weren't they supposed to be like twins?
Yeah, and they were incestual, and it was really weird. So we're not going to jump down that rabbit hole because that's one of those times that Marvel's like, why did we ever print this? Like, there are some books that Marvel has to look at themselves and go, yeah.
He was quick to blur those lines.
Oh, my God, Maurer. Are you having a kid? Because these dad jokes are getting worse and worse.
It's a terrible. I never liked Quicksilver. I'm not a fan of speedsters, but this does sound at least a little interesting.
I love
when you put the horror element to it.
And the isolation.
Yeah.
Like, I love, what is
this adds struggle to his character.
Is it Twilight Zone, where the one guy wishes to, he wishes that no one else was around so he could do nothing but read? And he actually drops his glasses and steps on them.
I don't think it was the Twilight Zone, I think it was the other one.
Yeah.
Not the Outer Limits. What was
I forget. We'll get back to
you
the
know
comments.
What I'm talking
Maybe.
About.
Never mind.
But my point being is that concept of isolation to that degree, especially when everyone is like the people you love are around you, there's just so much to play with there. It's intriguing. Like,
well, yeah.
You could have his whole story going forward, him stuck in there and get glimpses of not being stuck in there. So tell story after story of him in this in-between world, if you will, and how he's doing that and it's affecting the outside world, the regular speed time where he's now living almost, if you will, in the Speed Force.
Yeah, I was about to say he's technically Wally, Rebirth Wally.
You know, he's living in that slowed down time and seeing how these normally unable to be seen forces affect what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
and he's like a silent protector, if you will, of everybody. That makes him now interesting.
It does.
And you have the horror element to it. And
the psychological aspect to it. Yeah.
That would be a cool story. Keep that going.
Well, this is what he says. So Saladin Ahmed, who's going to be writing this book, said, even though he's surrounded by billions of people, they're all out of sync with him. He quickly discovers, though, that there is something else out there. Something that seems to be taking victims from among the frozen people around him. So in our first issue, Quicksilver discovers more about this threat. There is something else out there, but not someone, at least as far as we can tell. So I'm in.
It's the Shadow King.
All right, you can't just say things like that. Who's the Shadow, who's the Shadow King there, Feech?
The Shadow King actually is a, I want to say, kind of a high-level telepath of sorts who lives on a psionic plane, who was banished there long ago by Professor Charles Xavier, who periodically...
Huh? He was in the show Legion.
He was in Legion?
Shadow King was the main bad guy in Legion.
Oh, there you go.
I didn't finish Legion. Whoa. That's on my list before season two comes out. By the
Spoiler
way,
alert!
I don't want anyone to hear me say that and think that that's because I think Legion is a bad show. I actually think it's outstanding. It's just there's so much to catch up on right now. That one fell by the wayside. Yeah,
let's say one thing. We have to do a lot of watching and reading to do this show that sometimes the things we love the most get pushed to the side.
You have no idea. My read pile is ridiculous. The amount of comics I purchase and never read because of I'm so overzealous. I'm like, I'm going to buy 20 books this week. Don't worry, I'll get through them. No.
Three books later. Monday
anyway,
again.
Let's keep this moving. So let's Maurer, I think you have to take this one. So because we're getting more about our good old cosmic Ghost Rider. So,
yeah.
So what's going on with old Cosme?
Well, we now.
Cosme.
Cos Rider.
Cos Rider.
Cosmic Frank.
Cos Punisher.
Cosmic Castle.
Ooh.
There
Cosmic
it is.
Castle.
There it is.
Finally,
the alliteration.
We got Ghost Driver and Cosmic Castle. Well, we get some of his origin at this point. We saw the splash page of Earth's Last Stand, if you will.
It's it's been previewed in Thanos number 16, I believe.
We see the aftermath of that with Frank lying there, his last breath, and through his mind, he says something that I would give anything to punish that purple son of a bitch.
That purple son of a bitch being good old Thanos.
Who just wrecked basically every Marvel hero.
Yo, the splash page. And by the way, anybody click. If you're finding this show because of our social media links, click on the actual page. We'll have all these images so you can see them. Dude, the picture of Iron Man
being ripped in half.
Oh,
yeah.
That's brutal, man. Like, oof. It's like his entrail. Like, that's going back to like when Sentry ripped apart. Why can't I think of his name? Ares.
Yeah.
When Sentry ripped apart Ares.
They like ripping people in half.
Yep.
Oh, it's like Hulk ripped Wolverine in half.
I mean, what's it called? Frank Castle just ripped somebody in half in the in the War Machine costume.
Yeah.
Frank Castle, by the way, for those unaware, is currently wearing the War Machine costume because his War Machine died
brutally
by Thanos.
He didn't get ripped in half though.
No, he got punched in the through the gut. But let's get back to the point.
Yep. So, in your last dying wish, you know, it's normally just thoughts to yourself, right? Or Mephisto.
Who's Mephisto, Maurer?
Mephisto is the one that cursed the original Ghost Rider with the angel Zarathos, which is what gives the powers, and he becomes the spirit of vengeance.
He's essentially the devil.
He's the devil. He has been there since the dawn of time.
Yeah.
They don't call him the devil just so that they don't get the...
Well, it's also there's multiple devils in Marvel, because, I mean, technically Hela is a devil. Of her own right.
Or goddess of death.
Right.
So technically
but she still
death.
Like has her own underworld, so to speak. She has her own variation of hell.
Yeah.
And even like magic from the X-Men. What's her name's?
Yeah, there's a hell there.
Yeah, she goes to a hell. What's the name? Rasputin's brother or sister.
Ileana.
Ileana Rasputin. Colossus. His little sister.
Now, you see Mephisto go, anything? So we see the beginning of the Cosmic Castle. Now, the cool thing is we now have a tie to his purpose with that spirit of vengeance.
Right.
And it looks like he might actually be getting the true spirit of vengeance.
That's what I find interesting in what has been shown about this is they say that he's going to make three deals with three devils.
Hmm.
Right. So one deal, getting the spirit of vengeance. But we also know he's the cosmic Ghost Rider, so he becomes the Herald of Galactus. So that has to be the second one. So he makes a deal with Galactus.
Can we talk about that cover with Galactus?
Holding the big giant gun going up against Thanos? I've never seen anything like that. So Galactus, the World Eater, is one of the most powerful beings of all Marvel-dom.
And he looks like Rambo.
Yeah, he's running around with like extra armor on that big-ass gun. That's really weird. Again, that'll be in the description for the show. But the third one will have to be Thanos because he's supposedly going. There's like this new Thanos book being worked on.
King Thanos, right? At this point.
Yeah. Well, at that point, because he kind of won. Yeah. This whole is like an alternate reality where Thanos won, where that's where we get King Thanos in the Thanos storyline now.
And then isn't it that Thanos that sends back for him to fight this guy to go?
It's
weird.
Honestly, this kind of stuff that we're talking about is our topic for our Saturday show. So check us out then. We're going to talk about how we're getting sick of some things and we're going to gripe about it.
Get off my lawn.
Part two. All right. So let's keep this moving. So the next little bit of news, what do we got next?
We got the return of the Fantastic Four.
What? You almost sound like they'll never see me coming. you sound like the Mandarin over there. I'm cool with the return of the Fantastic Four. I think it's about time.
Listen, we talked about what this story could be, that they're losing their powers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they do this well, it could be awesome. But there's not much that they're doing well right now.
Well, let's do this. For just a moment, let's just take a second. We know the Fantastic Four, Johnny Storm, Sue Storm, Reed Richards, and Ben Grimm, right? Yep. So the Mr. Fantastic, the Invisible Woman, the Human Torch, and the Thing. They are currently separated. So because of the events of Secret War.
Battle World.
Yeah, because of Battle World.
Right.
Doom, the end-all, be-all villain for the Fantastic Four, becomes a god. He creates his own little universe after multiple ones collide. And the Reed Richards family find themselves outside of our universe, essentially rebuilding the multiverse as they see it.
Right.
Leaving Johnny and Ben to fend for themselves within the main Marvel stay. So they make their own story called a 2-in-1, which is awesome. We haven't seen those around for Marvel for quite a long time, and they've been pretty good. And we found out that they're both losing their powers because they're not with the Reed family. The four of them need to get together to be powerful. Well, now we got a new 2-in-1 book titled The Fate of the Four Revealed at Last. So that's not shocking what that one's going to be about.
Well, I mean, it does spark a grand re-entrance into the Marvel Universe for the Fantastic Four. But, I mean, for me, I kind of really didn't miss them.
Well, we had Evil Reed. Evil Reed was still around. So Reed from the Ultimate Universe when he became a bad guy, and we don't need to go into that. But
He's still around in the Doom books, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and the Doom books are starting to go away. I mean, look, it doesn't really matter because all this is going away soon with Marvel's reboot, which, again, we'll talk about on Saturday.
Get off my lawn!
But I'm good with them coming back. And look, it's not shocking that they're coming back if you think about...
The deal.
Yeah, the deal with Fox.
Yeah.
It makes sense that all of a sudden they're going to come back into the fold.
It does. So with them coming back...
So Mephisto's granting real-life wishes, too. All right, Fran Drescher.
Yeah, okay. All right. By the way, I heard this was some little, this is a weird tidbit, but just I want to get your guys just snap thoughts on this.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody it's had a really cool idea for how you bring the Fantastic Four into the MCU, which is if you want to be sneaky and be kind of cool about it, just at the end of the next Spider-Man movie, he gets an invitation to the Future Foundation.
That would make sense.
For those unaware, Future Foundation is what Reed sets up for the smartest kids in the world, essentially, and to tackle the world's biggest problems.
That would make sense.
Kind of a cool way to do it.
But then it's like, how did they not take part of anything else that happened?
Maybe they started the Future Foundation before they got their powers.
Ooh.
It's the MCU. They get to play around with timelines and things a little bit.
Minty.
Anyway, I don't want to go too much into that because we got a lot of other things to talk about. So keeping that moving, we have a new Multiple Man book. Who's excited? Cricket. All right, who's Multiple Man? Somebody give me a breakdown.
So Multiple Man, and we can both do this, Mara, but Multiple Man is Jamie Madrix, mutant, and actually former member of the X-Factor team with Havoc, Polaris. And
has a TV show in development right now.
Nobody cares.
Oh, and he also died.
The only person who cares is James Franco.
Oh, yeah.
That's it, because they want to make a James. That's why they're making this book.
Yes.
That's it.
James Franco called him up and was like, hey, I'm making a show. It'd help if you had a book.
Didn't he make it a movie?
I thought it was a movie.
Thought it was a show.
Thought it was a movie.
No one cares.
Something.
So Jamie Madrix is the Multiple Man. Look, he died in the Death of X, which is when the Terrigen Mist from the Inhumans are killing all the mutants.
Right.
So he died. And then the writer, I don't want to read his whole quote because it's really long, but he said he picked up the book because he really likes Jamie Madrix. And he talks about all these, like, you know, the psychology of what it's like to be able to separate yourself into multiple bodies. But really, Marvel said, well, what happens if he didn't die? So he raised his hand and said, I'll write it. Dude's not. And then he just ended with, yeah, dude's not dead. So, I mean,
the cool thing about him is, and he realized it when one of his multiples died in front of him, is they have their own being and essence. They can change. They can have their own lives. At one point, one of his multiples became a villain.
Didn't it absorb him as well?
It absorbed him, and he was... So it's almost like, you know, has anybody seen The Prestige?
Yes. Great film.
It's almost like that, where which one was really Jamie? Was it the one that was the duplicate or the one standing there? So you can really look into that part of it with this book and make this character that's been considered a joke, like Quicksilver, and do something serious with it.
All right. Well, one last bit of comic news, and this is going to be for good old Odin Sons coming back. So we're going to get Thor number one after this whole fresh start thing, which looks dope as hell. Right? So we got Thor coming back. Good old no more Mighty Thor.
No. Just Thor.
No more. This is just good old Thor.
Not even Odin's son?
This is Odin's son. This is not Jane Foster Thor. Unfortunately, Jane Foster is going to, I'm going to assume, die after like 8 years of dying of cancer now.
She put a good fight in.
She put a real good fight in. So good for you. All right, Jane.
Jane.
All right, Jane. All right. But Thor's coming back. He's got his good old golden arm. He's holding Mjolnir that's swinging and turning into like all the different hammers from all publications of Thor.
One looked like Thunderstrike, right?
Thunderstrike. I didn't see any that looked like Thunderstrike. Stormbreaker.
Stormbreaker, thank you.
One looked like the Ultimate Hammer. Yeah. One was a mace.
Looked like Hogan's mace.
Sure.
Hogan's one of the Warrior Three, the Asian one.
Yep.
Throg's hammer was in there, I'm sure.
Put the little sliver of Mjolnir. Throg is the frog Thor. It's a weird story from the Pet Avengers. We don't need to go into that.
Real easy. A piece of Mjolnir broke off, and a frog picked it up and became Throg.
All right. So I'm going to say the TV news extremely quick because I want to get into some movie news, and we don't have a lot to really talk about here. One, Brainiac looks amazing in that. He does. So who's Brainiac? Real quick, give me a elevator pitch of Brainiac.
The world's greatest villain who is set on studying all forms of life and gaining absolute knowledge.
Maurer's not biased at all. He's also why Krypton blows up.
Yeah.
So, but he looks phenomenal in the Krypton show, which is going to take place way before the events of Krypton exploding. The show looked kind of dumb. Trailer looked pretty good. Trailer 2 looks pretty good. I'm going to give it a shot.
It's still going to be dumb.
Moving on from there, we've got two set photos from Arrowverse that need to be mentioned. One, Roy Harper, the original Speedy, is coming back.
Ooh.
Just for one episode.
Oh.
That's it.
It's a trial to see how his anxiety is doing, and that's the reason why he left.
Okay.
His health is supposedly better, and he feels comfortable enough to go back. They've already said if he wants to come back full time, they will bring him back in an instant.
Well, the show is going to be titled Doppelganger, and it's going to air March 8th. Moving on from there, we got Iris West from The Flash in her own costume, and it looks dumb.
Well,
it does.
Yeah, no, it does.
It does. The episode's called Run, Iris, Run. It's going to happen on March 13th, and it's going to be, there's this character named the Melting Pot who switches people's DNA.
Yeah. It's Freaky Friday.
Right, and she gets the power of Barry, you know, and that's that. She's fast for an episode. Cool. She's purple.
And you get a speedster. And you purple. Get a speedster.
Anyway, if you want to see it, it's in the show description. Moving on to movie news, because we really got to get into this, because I really want to talk about Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith.
Oh my God. This could have been the worst day.
So as a fat man myself, I woke up this morning, saw a wide-eyed picture of Kevin Smith saying, I almost died last night.
Dude, it blew me away.
And I had to sit down. So anybody that hasn't heard, Kevin Smith was filming a comedy special. He was so excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
He did the first show. If you haven't been to a filming of a comedy special, there's normally multiple shows and they just kind of cut it together.
Yeah.
He did the first show, was not feeling well, threw up a little bit, had a heavy chest, was sweating. Turns out not only was he having a massive heart attack, but he was 100% blocked with the Widowmaker, they call it, that most of the times you just die.
Yeah. Surviving it, it's shocking.
Wow.
And he did. So thank the doctors. Yes. I'm going to give the doctors a round of applause because, man, that dude means so much to so many people in the nerd community.
Well, the best tweet I saw was from Stan Lee. And Stan Lee's like, hey, get healthy. Next time, why don't you just let me stick to the comedy?
Everybody's tweeted support for him. You had The Rock tweeted support for him. Yeah. Chris Pratt sends his prayers. And then people like yelled at him for saying something like that. And then James Gunn came to his defense. I'm not going to go into that. That'll be in the description. But all I know is that I'm happy that we have him around for a little bit longer and hopefully a much longer. So thank you to the doctors, Kevin Smith, man.
We wouldn't have recorded today.
No, we wouldn't have. That would have been, we're going to have to take the day because that would have hurt. That would have hurt a lot. So thank God that that's not the case. All right, moving on from there. Let's talk
something
some real big news. Well, I don't know if you want to call this happy, but some real big news, especially with the DCEU. Joss Whedon has stepped down from Batgirl.
No, that's not happy.
Joss Whedon is no, well, I mean, DC fans, look, I don't know what it is with DCEU fans. Hate Joss Whedon.
When Batman finds them, and he will.
And a one, and a two.
Earth 2!
If you're new around here, Earth 2 is what I'm not sure how your brain got there. You must, yeah, that's, you're not of this earth if your brain got to that. Anyway, this is what Joss Whedon said about it. He said, Batgirl is such an exciting project, and Warner Brothers and DC are such collaborative and supportive partners that it took me months to realize that I really didn't have a story. I'm grateful for Jeff and Toby and everyone who was welcoming when I arrived. So and so understanding when I is there a sexier word for failed? So he's stepping down. A lot of writers have stepped up who said that they're ready to helm this role. A lot of people on Twitter just said, it's okay. If Joss is out, I'll jump in. And DC has responded to them saying, if you're serious, DM me.
Yeah. Wow.
So they're ready to keep this going. They're not.
Here's what I'm not liking is people throwing Joss under the bus.
I don't know. Why? There are people who are really anti-Joss right now. I think it's because of the whole Snyder Cut thing for Justice League.
Not his fault.
I want to see the Snyder Cut. I really do. But that's not Joss Whedon's fault.
It's not.
He made the movie look like his kind of movie.
Well, and I love the fact that people think some of the things that were like the Snyder part were actually Joss. Like the whole opening scene. Yeah, not Snyder. That was Joss.
Yeah.
So look, they're both starkly different directors.
Of course.
So they're going to have different variations and different takes. Just be happy you got a Justice League movie.
Yeah.
And it wasn't bad. It wasn't bad. It wasn't great, but it wasn't bad. All right. Let's keep this moving. Keep the gravy train rolling. So next one, Wonder Woman 2. This is really weird and this is really flimsy, but there's rumor of a synopsis and the new villain. So the synopsis, according to the hashtag show, whatever the hell that is.
Like a show based around a hashtag.
Oh, that's cool. Good for you. The source revealed the storyline will follow Diana in the 1980s, where somehow she reunites with Steve Trevor, somehow. I don't know how that's possible, but somehow. And they take on a now-dissolved Soviet Union, with Cheetah being the new main villain.
Before we do any kind of breakdown, why are we going back in time with her again? We did that once. It was kind of cool.
Well, look, if it's still the same team that's working on this as they did the first one, they get my support.
Yeah, I can't really.
Innocent until proven guilty, bro.
You can't discount it now because they did a great job with the first one.
They made Wonder Woman, which I still believe is one of the most convoluted backstories to try and tell in a short period of time, and did it a wonderful way.
But at the end of that, you see her at the end of that movie saying, I'm going to go be a part of society, and then in Justice League, she's still not a part of society.
I don't know how they're going to make it work. I don't know how they're going
to
make it.
So she jumps out again. It's like, I'd pop in every now and then and just disappear.
Well, who knows?
Which is why really, you should enjoy this. These are our standalone films.
It depends on Cheetah. Like, how does Cheetah change this?
So who's Cheetah?
Cheetah, well, there's a lot of Cheetahs, and this is a very convoluted backstory. There's a whole lot of them. There's some Cheetahs who were literally just a chick with her own lasso and a weird Cheetah costume. There were some who were like
haters,
a dude at first, and then like became a knife, and then the knife was
we're confusing everything at this point.
I'm telling you, Cheetah is one of the most ridiculous characters. Convoluted is the perfect word. Cheetah is very convoluted.
Basically, Cheetah, Wonder Woman villain, looks like or is Cheetah-like, fast, super powerful.
She's like powered by a cheetah god that they
plant god.
Well, I guess it depends. Like New 52, Cheetah is probably the one they're going to do. By the way, New 52 is after they rebooted the Marvel or the DC universe, for those unaware.
But at one point, she was Paris Hilton.
What?
And a one.
In the original, she was like,
Earth 2!
No, 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 that doesn't deserve the original thing. She was just a socialite.
I get you, but she's not Paris Hilton. So the fact that your brain went to Paris Hilton, Earth 2.
You
that,
name another socialite.
No, because I got a lot of other things to talk about.
Nicole Richie?
Cheetah is exactly what she sounds like. She's a powerful cheetah lady. She's huge. She's a huge villain for
Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I mean, yes. Huge villain for Wonder Woman.
A mainstay villain.
And for the Wonder new one Woman. It's a whole different tribe. From like it's African tribe, I believe.
The Sand tribe in Africa. Yes.
Yes, and they hunt people.
Well, no, they didn't hunt people. They praised the hunt, and the cheetah god was who they.
She
revered.
Hunted her brother yeah, and she... killed him.
Yes, but that was from. So in that in the
that's
reworked,
hunting people, bro.
But yeah. That wasn't the Sand Tribe. That was another.
That was another tribe. That yeah. was the latest version
there,
of it.
There's kind of a newer Amazonian like tribe.
Wow.
That she was a part of. Yeah, convoluted. Yes.
Wow. And she's a cheetah. But she's a cheetah lady.
But they also praised the hunt, and they would hunt actual people, and she was made to hunt her live brother,
which is where the knife came in that stabbed her and turned her into the cheetah.
All right, guys, we got to stop. We got to stop. So let's talk about a couple more things, and then we got to wrap this up. So one thing we need to talk about is James Gunn and the wonderful Mark Hamill.
Okay.
So turns out they live near each other.
Dope.
That's really where this starts.
How weird would that be? Like, is that Mark Hamill around the corner?
Yeah, just picking up his newspaper.
He looks over you in his like Jedi robe, coffee in his hand. Morning.
It would be he's just yeah.
And knowing Mark Hamill, he would just go, "Hey, we are Groot." So because of they found out that James Gunn lives near Mark Hamill, he tweeted that, hey, we should probably get together and talk about potentially working together.
And Mark Hamill responds in Mark Hamill fashion.
In very Mark Hamill fashion, as a
good neighbor and an unemployed actor. Sounds like a good idea.
So there's no word yet, but supposedly the two of them are going to get together and talk about a potential role for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And I am more than happy to have Mark Hamill in the MCU.
I'm here for it.
Can we talk about one more thing?
Yes, of course we can.
I'm pretty sure you know what I'm going to talk about.
One more thing.
Aquaman.
Wow. Namor?
No, the good one, the Aquaman.
Oh, Namor.
The guy that talks to
neither
fish.
Of them are the good one. Yeah, this is like Ninja Turtles 2. Yeah, I'll take the ugly one. No, you take the ugly one.
Which one's the ugly one? They're both ugly.
One of them doesn't have little booties with wings on it.
One of them, like, is stronger than the other.
One of them's a copy.
How do you know Namor is stronger than Aquaman?
Because he is.
He lost to the Thing, and Namor and Aquaman could go toe to toe with Superman.
Aren't you the one that always says it determines by the writers?
Yes.
Yeah. But also, DC characters are stronger.
No. And it's,
not always, but most of them are.
Gravity on their Earth is much more because the planet is larger. It was proven in the DC versus Marvel. That is why their characters are considered overpowered. Lawyered.
I'm moving on.
But anyway, there's people that saw screeners and behind the scenes and footage and everything. They're saying it's a great movie.
Yeah, a lot of good early praise.
Who are these sources?
Industry folk.
Those who want to see Namor burn.
But there's been a few comparisons to their original thoughts of Wonder Woman.
So supposedly the action sequences blow away Wonder Woman and Justice League.
Well, they should. I mean, it's Jason Momoa.
Well, they should.
I mean, it's Jason Momoa. If you've seen Game of Thrones and him as Khal Drogo.
I mean, and Juan as the director is phenomenal for action scenes.
And what they were saying is that it has this, it's a worldly film because they're going to travel the entire, all of the oceans and end up in different places. There's going to be a lot of ships and like a pirate-esque kind of feel to it.
And they've said there's not going to be the weird air bubbles for them to talk. So like in Justice League, how Mira formed that like little pocket of air. They said that's not going to be the only way that they can talk. So people were a little worried about that.
They probably just did that because Jason Momoa's character is still kind of new to all that. Like Jason Momoa's character wasn't like he swims, sure, but he's not. He's been out of Atlantis for so long that that's probably the easiest way for him to communicate.
Yeah.
But will there be a Kraken?
Oh, my God. We're moving on.
Well, we're moving on to that thing that you do.
All right. You can find the show Welcome to Fireside or WelcomeToFireside.com. When I say that, I mean at Welcome to Fireside everywhere online. If you enjoy the show, it goes a long way. We appreciate all the support. If you could give us a comment, a like, a share, anything, it goes I cannot tell you how important that is for us.
A 5-star rating would help too.
Any of that stuff.
We love it all.
Look, you could just say, hey,
Like we talk back.
If, like I'm good with that too. I just like I like to
you
know
can
you're
mail
there.
Us presents.
Look, I can see the numbers. I see the analytics. I know you're there. I know you hear my voice.
I like Ghost Rider stuff.
I'm good to just you know you want to talk. We can talk.
Yeah,
just saying. Hey,
or maybe I'll, like a
anyway. I'm
put in pop
features.
Mr. Maurer, don't forget to check us out on OG Podcast. You can go to their website, ogpodcastnetwork.com or OG Podcasts. Deuces.
Hey, wait.
What?
Wait.
What?
Check us out on Saturday where we're going to gripe about comics. Deuces.
Holla at us.
Wait.
What?
We forgot something.
What did we forget?
Deuces.
Deuces.
Damn.
Damn.
Deuces.
Damn. I feel like Raphael in the first turn. I lost a side, but I can get it back. I can get it back.